I'm here in the Pleasance Dome, and we've just given out, for the first time ever, two teapots, one large one and one small one, to Bryony Kimmings and also to Taylor, who were in Credible, Likeable, Superstar Role Model, which got an outstanding review from Fringe Review. My first question to you is, how did you set this show to preach without being too preachy?
Well, that was probably like one of our main aims as we made it. So was the idea that people would leave feeling motivated but hopeful and not like they've been preached at. So I guess we just had to do it with honesty and humour as much as possible and not tell people how to think or what to do, just to say this is what we did and we thought that that was cool. And it was one of the aims to not be like, it would be rubbish if someone just sat there and told you how rubbish everyone was in the audience, you know. That wouldn't help at anything. And I think the main thing I learned through this project was that you have to put stuff out there in the world and not try and like take things away. You know, the more we put positive things out there, the more the negative things will slowly dissipate, I suppose.
And could you just take us back to the very moment in time when this idea formed into a show idea?
I think it came from a conversation with other nine-year-olds, not Taylor. It was a school in Battersea, and a little girl said that she wanted to be in The Only Way Is Essex when she was older, and she faked having a wag bag on her arm and having a dog on a lead. And I was just like, I couldn't even think about how kids had got to that stage where they actually watched The Only Way Is Essex or believed that they needed to be that kind of person when they were older. And it just made me explore that world of tweens, and I was shocked by what I found. And then, yeah, it was that moment that I was like, this isn't like it used to be. And that sounds like everyone says that, but I think really genuinely life isn't like it used to be for kids now.
Well, that's the idea to do a show, but when did you actually cross that threshold of, you know, my niece is going to be on stage at the Edinburgh Fringe? Or was that your decision, Taylor?
No, it wasn't your decision, was it? So it was my decision. It was, we'd done a photo shoot together for a show where I regress all the audience to nine-year-olds, and she played a small version of me, and we just had a photo shoot together, and suddenly I was like, I love this girl, and I like, we'd like dancing together and messing around, and I was like, we can make a show together. And that was when I was like, I need to make a show about nine-year-olds. I was thinking of her in mind, and then it was like, she should be in it.
and but still, you know, never work with children, they say, you know.
Oh, she's the greatest. Like, but the lovely thing about performing with Taylor is she's not a trained actress. She doesn't go to stage school. She talks from a thing that she's written herself. She doesn't act. She's just being herself on stage. And I think that that's really refreshing, because that's a real performance art mentality, you know, that we're just being ourselves. And so, no, I'd love to work with children forever. She's like the best person to be on stage with. She doesn't hog my stage time. She does what she's told. Do you like it?
Yeah.
You can't nod on an audio interview.
She knows that. Right, you say how you find it then.
I find it really fun, and as well, being here is really fun as well, because I can do, it's not just every day you have to stay at home until the show. It's every day you can go see shows, you can go do lots of stuff until the show time.
So it's sort of like really being on holiday, lovely, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in terms of where this fits in with your work, I mean, you didn't imagine this would be one of your shows, did you, say, even a couple of years ago?
I honestly didn't, and I think that I've always been interested in taboos or British culture, and I guess it follows a similar trajectory because it's a social experiment that then gets brought back to stage and I talk about what happens. But no, I never thought I was an ethical person. I never thought I was going to be an activist, and for some reason now I feel like this project has changed me. She's changed me.
And is there a script sitting somewhere in a drawer? How's this come about in terms of, you know, you delivering it as a piece of theatre?
Yeah, for the first time ever, I didn't go into the studio and improvise. I wrote it, and then we played around with it quite a lot. But there is a script, it exists. Some of it's like dance routine, like, you know, like Warriors. It doesn't have like the choreography written down. But I started to write it because I thought, if I can prove that I can write this show, then I can write shows for other people. And I guess that's just what I wanted to start thinking about, not just devising.
I saw this one yesterday, and our other reviewers saw it at the beginning of the run. So you do tinker with the content a little bit, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And normally, if I'm here on my own, I'd change a show every day. And it's Edinburgh for me, really, is a chance to get it right before we go on tour. And so it was really different in the beginning, wasn't it? And normally I would just tinker as I'm going along, but we had to be like, right, we're staying at home, we're changing this bit, we'll try that tonight, changing this bit, try it tonight. Because if I improvise on stage with her there, it throws her, you know, obviously, because she's just a child. And she's like, what's going on, you know? So, yeah, I'll probably have to go home and rewrite the script, yeah.
It seems so intense. I mean, I'm going to use the word spiritually intense on stage. I mean, has this sort of changed you in a way that now what your next show is going to be isn't going to be the one you might have done had you not done this project?
Yeah, I think so. I think I am more interested in a bigger story than a smaller story now, maybe. The thought of like being like, oh no, I've lost my trousers, where on earth have they gone? Like, it just doesn't seem appealing. I want to make the next show, I think, about climate change and about how we all think that's a really rubbish subject and we all hate the talking about climate change. And how would we make that a cool subject and how do we understand it better? So I guess I want to make stuff that's more challenging, you know, to say like, okay, if we're going to use something like the sexualisation of children, how are we going to make that an entertaining show? How are we going to make climate change an entertaining hour, which actually does change people's minds about stuff? So yeah, I think I've grown up a bit, maybe. Yeah, who knows, probably not.
But you've kind of committed yourself to Catherine Bennett now, haven't you?
Yeah, Taylor's my manager for definitely the next year. There's television interest in the Catherine Bennett TV show, which we're not sure about. It depends if it fulfills the ethical kind of ideals of the project. Yeah, I have to be Catherine Bennett until this project, till we stop finishing the show, I'd say. I can't be here forever.
Taylor, then, being the manager, what's she like to work with?
She likes to work with dinosaur bones.
No, what am I like to work with?
Yeah. Really, really fun.
Aww. Really? Bossy?
That's quite good feedback to be getting anyway.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. Can you just take us into one of your rehearsals?
Well, when we rehearse together, there's a lot of dancing about, isn't there? And we made up all the routines together. Like, literally, she would come up with ideas and I would come up with ideas. So it is devising. There's a lot of messing around. There's a lot of rolling around on the floor and eating. And we try to not make it very difficult because she's only little. You know, if I was just shouting at the whole time. Tom is our sound producer and he also co-directed the show with me. And he's really good with Taylor. I just think it's a lot of playing and trying to stay calm and trying to be ourselves, basically. But eating, there's often eating.
We were at an event at the Fringe last year and actually we were getting some talks from people from Eastern Europe who were saying that in their countries art is turned to when the nation's in trouble. It's the place to change the nation and give it answers. That doesn't really happen in this country, does it? And even less in America.
Yeah, God, in America, not at all. But here, no, unfortunately, I don't think people turn to the arts when something's, you know, when the world's going to the dogs. I hope that this... Like, a couple of reviews have said, like, you know, like, this is, like, reclaiming activism into art and saying that actually those things are intrinsically linked with one another. And I think, I hope it begins that kind of sensibility in other artists, maybe. Just because that naturally happens, doesn't it? People get excited about a certain type of art. But, yeah, I think, no, we don't, and we should. But then again, a lot of art is rubbish. Do you know what I mean? And we've had a really luxurious time of lots of art getting funded. And actually, quality hasn't always been amazing. And I think once you get angry about something, you do make better art. So maybe, you know, with the Tories in and that, probably for the next term as well, we're probably going to get some really good stuff happening.
And, you know, with the stars across the board on the reviews and the awards and teapots and all kinds of stuff, when the demands keep coming to play here, and can you play here and can you play here, is there a danger this becomes unmanageable and goes into repetition? And, you know, as you said in the show, you know, Taylor's going to, you know, jump into a new phase of her life. So are you going to have to just say, now this one needs to stop?
Yeah, definitely. We've had a conversation as a family about this and with the school that Taylor goes to. And we definitely don't want her to do it past the end of her primary education, because the thought of her being out of school when she's just beginning to make new friends is not out of consideration. We're going to tour a little bit, as much as we can, without disrupting her schooling, and she gets a tutor, and that's all up for negotiation with the school, really. But no, I think the beauty of it is that it's time limited, you know, especially that show, that we talk about her body growing and changing, and she's about to grow up, and she knows she is. She's already doing it over this summer. So yeah, we'll do as much touring as we can, but not anywhere near as much as I would normally do, which is sad, but like, it's fine.
Final question, what's in your notebooks at the moment?
My notebooks? God, mostly ideas for this television show, to try and persuade her that it's a good idea for Catherine Bennett to be on the telly, if it is ethical and kind of along the lines of the programme. So like lots of drawings of like weird Japanese cartoons and like the idea of Mighty Boosh for kids. Other than that, climate change stuff and getting really angry about certain things. What else is in our notebooks? I think notes of how to change the show for when it goes on tour, because I want to work on it more. Maybe probably some scribbles from her as well. We've been playing Hangman a lot.
Bryony Cummings and Taylor, it's been a total privilege to see your work here at the Edinburgh Fringe. Thanks very much.
Thank you.